Welcome back to What Do You Want to Watch, a show hosted by myself, Nathan English, and
David Dirks.
Long pause there. David could not think of his name. That'll happen. And we're going to be talking about people whose lives are about to change. They're about to get ridiculous amounts of money, except, I mean, I guess that's not the case anymore, because most of these guys probably made ridiculous amounts of money the last year and a half or so, at least first round guys. We're talking about the NFL draft, where if you're a terrible team, you can look and see and possibly hope that your savior is coming in the form of a quarterback from USC, who some people say is not going to be a good quarterback solely because he paints his nails and has cried once, which is that is analysis to make. And if you're a good team, this is more boring. It's more about trading, seeing if you can find a plug-and-play guy. You're likely not trying to find your next superstar because you already have them. What you're trying to find right now is somebody who can fill in a gap that you missed maybe last year, or somebody you had to let go in free agency or trade away. But it's the time when futures can change for obviously individual players, but also franchises. So it's exciting. And we're going to watch it, and we're going to watch people boo Roger Goodell, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the top prospects. We'll also talk about the Chiefs, mostly because that's the team that we care about. I know one position we don't have a need at, and that is tight end's girlfriend. We have that covered, but we'll be scouting all of the positions in this draft. So
come on.
All right, David, let's get to this. Let's do our best Mel Kiper impersonations. Okay. All right, let's start with the top five. Let's just run through it. Caleb Williams, he's been the consensus number one pick since, I guess, the beginning of the college football season almost. David, would you say it's been that long that Caleb Williams has been considered the best prospect in this draft?
I think so, and it may have even started like in the last year. I feel like we were talking about him, but I hope he still has another year to go. But so for quite some time, yeah, it's been Caleb is the top guy for sure.
I don't profess to be a tape grinder. I've watched quite a few Caleb Williams highlights. I've also listened to smarter people who have grinded tape. He is like the five tool guy you're looking for. He is also, I think, being helped out a lot by Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and sort of his comps for current successful quarterbacks. He is a great pocket passer, but really his star ability relies in his just football mind, but also the fact that he can get out of the pocket and make crazy throws off platform all the time. David, what stands out to you about Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I just think it's his like off timing, like the stuff that you can't plan plays. Even scrolling, looking right now, just like his ability to move with the pocket and then find the open space and then on the run be able to make these throws that are pretty difficult to make. That, yeah, the speed might change and maybe the height or the size, but like dropping a ball in between two defenders is impressive in college and the NFL, you know? And so his be able to understand that and have the instincts to avoid the pressure and make these throws is pretty impressive to me. And I, honestly, there's a surprising amount of people around me that think he's going to be just an absolute bust. And I'm just really confused. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think that he will be at all. I think he'll be pretty good, but I'm surprised.
I think there's a natural level of vitriol with Caleb Williams, and I think there's a couple of reasons for that. First is that he has been, as we mentioned at the top, this guy who has been touted as the best quarterback in a long time, the best quarterback in however many years prospect anyway, to enter into the NFL draft. And so obviously I think you're going to have people try to push back on that. He also does have a little bit more of a media personality than most people, I guess, would expect out of a college quarterback. He plays in Southern California. He's a pretty flashy guy. He does paint his nails. He did like cry at a press conference after a loss. These are things that to me don't really matter in terms of like football ability, but to a lot of people, people like to walk around and say like leader of men and things like that. And they don't think that Caleb Williams can be that because of those certain traits, which I think is ridiculous. And also USC wasn't good. Like they were not good this past year. And so all, I think a lot of draft analysis also comes down to, is player a winner? Did he win? Did he win in college? If he's not a winner, then he's going to lose. You know who didn't win in college? Patrick Mahomes. Like, he didn't. He had terrible defenses. His offensive line was bad, and he lost a lot of games. Caleb Williams had one of the worst offensive lines in Power 5 conference this year at USC. Like, you did not have to blitz the USC offensive line. If you watched any of their games, he was running for his life every single possession. And he still threw 30 touchdowns. And I think the important part here is 5 picks. Like, yeah, Jaden Daniels probably outplayed him this year, but Caleb, like, had a much less stacked roster and was still able to put a lot of nice tape out on the field. So
the defense was worse than the offensive line.
Yeah, and the defense he was playing with was also
historically
terrible.
Bad. Yeah.
I mean, the man has an absolute cannon, obviously, as any quarterback taking this highly does. He's also, like you said, a good precision passer. I mean, he's got everything. So I think that a lot of people are looking at this as an incredibly high ceiling, but also a very high floor as well. Now, we should talk about the fit just a little bit. He's going to the Bears. The Bears have made moves recently. I think they're a team that is looking to get better, although they stuck with their just mediocre head coach that I don't know that I would have stuck with. David, how confident are you? Because he's going to start. He's going to start day one. And there's always this argument between starting a guy right away versus letting him sit for a year behind a veteran quarterback and gain some confidence and gain some knowledge. How confident are you that Caleb Williams can make an impact for the Bears team right away?
I mean, I feel pretty good about it. Now, I don't know if they're going to go 14-3 and, you know, just completely go from really bad to really, really good, but I think he'll be better than what they've had. And I think that on top of some of the transactions that they've made in the offseason, they added DeAndre Swift to their running back room. They signed Jalen Johnson. I can scroll past Brett Ripon as a quarterback. I don't think that's much needed to talk about.
Okay, excuse you. Jeez.
Matt Pryor, offensive tackle. They re-signed Gerald Everett. They signed Kevin Byard that the Eagles traded for mid-season. Keenan Allen they got. They Jonathan Owens. Is that the husband of Simone Biles, or am I thinking of somebody else?
I think you're thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Back to that original point. The fact we don't know that guy's name. Okay.
That's true.
I can't believe he said that. Go look.
I know, it just proves the point. I can't remember his name, but
if you want to know.
Is that an actual thing? That's actually funny.
Yeah. Yeah, because he said in a podcast, he was like, or she said something about, like, you know, I'm not going to be famous. I'm going to be just the wife of insert NFL player. And he, like, agreed with that. And he was like, yeah, you know, I didn't even know who Simone Biles was when I started dating her. Which is just maybe
that's not even true.
Person's ever. Yeah, stop. Simone Biles is infinitely more famous than that man and infinitely more accomplished. Anyway, back to what you were saying. Sorry.
But yeah, they got some off, like they traded for Ryan Bates from the Bills. They got some offensive line help. And then they, you know, you got re-signing Gerald Everett, who's a solid tight end. You got DeAndre Swift. You got Keenan Allen. So, you know, it's not just Caleb coming in. Like they've made some moves in this offseason. And like I'm looking here at their moves and they've signed, just in my quick count, 5 offensive linemen, whether by signing them or trading for them. Now I don't know, you know, are all those guys day one starters? What's that look like? But that was an issue for the Bears, you know, and I don't know. I think they'll improve from Caleb alone, but they're doing a good job of Ryan Poles is doing a good job of putting stuff around him where he won't have to scramble every single play like he did at USC. Potentially it's like he's got playmakers around him, potentially a better offensive line. So we'll see. I'm not even sure exactly what the Bears record was this last year. I don't know if was it a 5 wins, but I think it's something better. 7-10.
They're getting the number one overall pick in a interesting situation as well, because they had the blockbuster trade with Carolina, where they did like a pick swap and all the other stuff for DJ Moore, and Carolina finished with the worst record in the league. And so that's why the Bears have this pick. The Bears don't have the number one overall pick because they were the worst team, which I think is important because it shows that there was a foundation there already. And like you said, they're building in players. He is not going into a Bryce Young situation. He is not going to be the only guy on that team. I mean, Bryce Young's best weapon was aging Adam Thielen. All due respect to Adam Thielen, but doesn't really have it anymore. And he had a cheese grater for an offensive line. I mean, I don't know. That thing was leakier than a faucet that I fixed. It's terrible. And come so I think this is going to really help Caleb, because he is not going into the classic, you know, number one overall pick thrown to the Wolves quarterback, which we have seen recently. David,
They have the number nine pick. And so they have two top 10 picks. And we can get into this, but there a lot of mock drafts have them getting Rome Odunze, 6'3", 212-pound receiver out of Washington, who absolutely dominated, had over 1,600 receiving yards this last year. So, like, he's also going to get help of a young guy potentially in Rome Odunze, if that's the direction that they go, who's the number three rated receiver right now behind Malik Labors and Marvin Harrison.
There's also been rumors they could take a swing at tackle as well, because this is supposed to be a really good tackle draft too.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to do everything they can to try to put him in a position to win. Before we move on from Caleb Williams, I want to talk about the number one history of number one overall picks at quarterback, especially within the last 20 years. So, David, I'm going to just list these guys to you, and I want to get your reaction right now. And I think we'll just exclude Bryce Young from this, because I think it's too early to tell, although I'm sure you'll be leaning your way. I want you to just let me know whether you think they were worth the number one overall pick or they were not worth the number one overall pick, in your estimation, based on how their careers.
Is this like all time or like the last?
I'm just going to read to the last 20 years. I'm going to go from 2004 on. Okay. So we'll start at the bottom. 2004, Eli Manning.
Worth it.
Yeah. Yep. I would agree with there. 2005, Alex Smith.
I'd say that was worth it. It wasn't the success of the Super Bowls and stuff, but he won many games for the Chiefs and for other teams. For the Niners, though, didn't he take them? He took them deep into the playoffs before he got hurt. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I mean, he had some playoff success. He had playoff success with the Niners before Kaepernick kind of took over his job, too. I mean, Alex Smith was a 10-plus year starter in the NFL, which is pretty good. I mean, number one overall pick, you could maybe argue. I think you're going with yes, obviously. The next one is the most no has ever been, and it's Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
Jamarcus Russell is the biggest flame out in NFL history, maybe outside of Ryan Leaf. Just read stories on Jamarcus Russell. Okay.
Yeah, Matthew I didn't know Stafford. This, but he – sorry, I didn't know this. Ahead, he held out of his entire rookie camp. And into week two of the regular season? Should I know why?
Yeah.
I feel like I just haven't heard that. He didn't want to be a Raider. Is that why?
I think he just wanted more money. I think it was a contract negotiation sort of situation.
Bro, you're a rookie.
Also, famously was like he was given a tape that was blank and told to watch it. And then brought it was told it was full of blitz packages, and then brought it back to the Raiders, and the coaches were just trying to test him, and they'd be like, what do you think of those blitz packages? And he's like, yeah, I liked studying those, they were good. It was a blank tape. They wouldn't even he tried to do a rehabilitation of his career afterwards, and they wouldn't even GMs wouldn't even meet with him. They didn't even weren't interested in a number one overall prospect from like 3 years before. Nobody wanted him. It's just crazy. His story is insane.
Wow.
So yeah, that's wild. The biggest no of all time. Matthew Stafford.
I'd say he's worth it. He hung around for the Lions for a lot of years despite the badness and won a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford's won a Super Bowl. Will go down as an all-time great quarterback. He's not going to be the top 10, I don't think, but he'll definitely get there. Sam Bradford.
Unfortunately, due to injury, I don't know. I think that ended up being disappointing just because of the injuries that he sustained.
Yeah, I mean, outside of his rookie year, Sam Bradford didn't do a whole lot. Cam Newton.
I say he's worth it. Won an MVP, got to the Super Bowl. That's pretty good.
Yeah, people forget. I mean, because this is what happens with players who stick around too long and just fall off of their peak fast. Cam Newton looked really bad at the end of his career. Cam Newton, for like the first 4 or 5 years of his career, was just a legitimately scary player, like terrifying to play against.
Dominant.
The biggest red zone threat ever at a quarterback position. He was insane. Andrew Luck.
I want to say yes, but I think it kind of ended up hurting the Colts with the immediate, like, unexpected retirement. But he was, like, a good quarterback.
Yeah, I think Andrew Luck is maybe the biggest what if in NFL history, just because if he keeps playing, is he, like, he was already, he was considered regularly, I would say, top five, top seven quarterback every single year that he played. I mean, from his rookie year. And the majority of NFL teams would have taken a shot at him. So him retiring early, I don't know. I think I would go yes, it was still worth it. I mean, they moved on from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, but we'll see. Jameis Winston.
No.
What is the wild story in the
NFL? Jameis Winston was picked
number one overall and was not necessarily the best draft anyway, if you look at, especially for quarterbacks. No, I don't think there's any arguing. He is an objectively hilarious player to watch play football, but he's not good. Jared Goff. This one's interesting now.
I'd say yes. Like, he got to a Super Bowl with the Rams, and he is having sustained success with the Lions. So maybe too soon to tell, but like, he's already turned the Detroit Lions franchise around that has been just depressed for many years. So I'd say it's working. If you're a Lions fan, you're like, yeah, it was worth it. But I think,
even
as a Rams fan, like, they had pretty rough years and they got to a Super Bowl.
All right. Baker Mayfield. I mean,
I don't know.
It's the Browns. And so he did his best with that organization. They did not stick by him. Which I think is a shame. I think if he's still a Browns quarterback with the pieces they were willing to put around Deshaun Watson, I think maybe they're a better team now. I'm going to say no.
For the Browns,
I thought it was a reach for Baker to be drafted number one over. I think that's the epitome of, this guy's a winner in college. I think that's what that pick was. And they did that, and I just don't know if it, I don't know if it really worked out.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray.
I think it's too soon to tell. He's really, really talented. He did get injured last year. But I don't know if their like struggles have been him or if it's just like coaching and so I think it might be too soon to tell, but he is very talented, and I'm actually curious this year to see, especially if they pick up like a Marvin Harrison, what that looks like. But it's maybe leaning but like too soon to tell, maybe is kind of where I'd fall with that.
Fair point. Here's an absolute yes, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Burrow is one of the top five quarterbacks in the league when he's healthy and has led his team to a Super Bowl
When he's healthy.
Multiple AFC championship game appearances. I think maybe on his path to could be the best quarterback in that franchise's history. So, yeah, I think that's an easy yes. This one, I'm gonna go ahead and declare this right now. Next one is Trevor Lawrence. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. I'm out on Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if there's any player who was more highly touted coming out of college and has had more excuses made for him. I just don't know if Trevor Lawrence wins big games. I think Trevor Lawrence might just be a mediocre prospect. And I think he was, you know, he was great at Clemson, and sometimes that just doesn't translate. I just don't see it translating. I think we're done. I really do.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, like, man, just look at the success he's had, despite it being disappointing. But then I was like, I mean, Blake Bortles, I guess, has made it farther in the playoffs than Trevor has.
Yeah.
So I was like, can I really say that? Like, well, I mean, the Jags have had sustained success, and they have. But it does just kind of seem like, because I'm like, okay, what's holding them back? Well, Doug has won a Super Bowl. The pieces around them, they have one of the best skill groups in the league. Mm-hmm. They have good linebackers. They got good DBs. It's like, where's the weakness? And it does kind of feel like it's Trevor, you know? I don't know.
I agree.
Hmm.
All right. So that was number one overall picks, quarterbacks drafted in the last 20 years. We can move on, because what we're going to have next is, I think, even more interesting right now. Caleb's going number one. We all know that. Two and three are a little up in the air, though. So we have Washington at two. Patriots have the third pick. Now, there's been rumors that the Patriots are looking to shift and looking to possibly trade. I don't think so, just because I don't see a way in which Robert Kraft does not want to get a quarterback. Because that's how you build excitement for your franchise. And so there's been rumors that they'll either want to trade away that pick or take Marvin Harrison Jr. I just don't know what good it is taking Marvin Harrison Jr. if you don't have anybody to throw him the ball. And so, You know, Jacoby Brissett's fine as a serviceable veteran quarterback, but he is not going to get the job done. And you're going to need to make a big splash somehow. And I think you do it now. So, well, who do you think the Washington Commanders pick too, because that's, I think the Patriots are just getting whoever's left. Do you think the Commanders go with Drake May? It's kind of resurged as the top guy, or do you think they stick with Daniels, who I feel like a month ago or so was the consensus pick for Washington?
I really think they're going with Jaden. Teams always surprise you, of course, and they, you know, some teams like to do the whole, we got you. But I think they'll do Jaden. I did hear a little bit of questions, like, you know, we've seen this not happen with Joe, and we've seen this happen with other quarterbacks, but like Jaden's surrounded by two first round receivers and a 5-star offensive line. Like, you know, should Jaden Daniels be the number two ranked quarterback in this draft? But that's just hard to know, right? Because Joe Burrow was surrounded by some of the best talent that a college team's had, and he's playing just fine, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that may not be an issue at all. But it is interesting. I do think the Commanders go Jaden. And as like stacked as this year is, it kind of feels like the top four, like it feels like it's going to be Caleb, Jaden, Patriots get Drake, and then Cardinals get Marvin Harrison. Like, to me, I'm like, if the Cardinals are like, you got Kyler, you just signed a new extension. It almost feels like a given. Like, are they going to sign an offensive tackle at four? Mm-hmm. That's a really high value of that tackle to draft him number four. But you could sign arguably one of the greatest receiver prospects that we've had. Mm-hmm. That kind of seems like that's locked in. But again, you're right. I saw that Patriots were taking phone calls. Now, whether that's legit or if they're just smoke curious screens. What people are willing to give up, you know, like maybe the Vikings are willing to give an arm and a leg, and they're like, actually, let's just take all of this, you know. But I think it's Jaden 2, Drake at 3. And then, Marvin Harrison at 4, unless the Chiefs trade up at 4 and get Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, that's not happening. Nobody's in a hurry to make the Chiefs better. We'll talk about that whenever we get to the Chiefs part of this. I agree with you. I think Jaden's going to Washington. I think it just makes sense. I think the only thing that's possibly holding them back is, and I think sports are weird like this, and it's a completely different scenario, but RG3 is not that long ago. And so this happened where there was a consensus number one pick, and that consensus number one pick was Andrew Luck. And then the next guy was RG3. And RG3 was the Heisman winner, the guy who put up an amazing season the year before, had all the tools that you look at, and, you know, took a lot of hits, but ran around a lot and made plays, did what he had to do, you know. And I think a lot of, like, RG3 is molded in the way that Jaden Daniels plays as well. Jaden Daniels puts his body on the line. That's just what he does. I mean, if you watch those LSU games, he was sometimes the only one putting his body on the line. And he's probably a better passer than RG3 was. But if you look at that, I think there's a little bit of fear there, and that you're repeating history again. And what happened to RG3 was just a tragedy of injuries, because he was great. He was a great pro player. I mean,
he
outplayed Luck his first year. A lot of that could have been circumstances of the team that he was around, but he was great. And then that crappy field in Raljohn, Maryland took his career, and he rushed back to play earlier than he needed to, and he was never the same guy. And they haven't improved the field there at that stadium, but I just wonder if that's in the back of their mind, because they just did a really weird thing where they invited like their top 20 guys on the board, aside from Caleb Williams, to go play Top Golf together. And just then they just sat back and watched as the prospects played Top Golf. And now coming out of that, people are saying like it's Drake May, which I don't really know. I mean, if it is Drake May, it's Drake May. That's fine. I think Daniels would be the right pick. That's who I would pick here if I were Washington. But I wonder if there's that fear of repeating history. And, you know, I often it's a stereotype given to black quarterbacks. And I think that it's not, they're not the same player, but they're both Heisman winners who are extremely like versatile and dual threat guys. That's just what both of them were, RG3 and Jaden Daniels. And I wonder if they worry about repeating the same thing that happened to them 10 years ago.
Yeah. And that's kind of our own worst enemy, aren't we? Like, you know, we got an idea and then we kind of get in our heads, second guess stuff. So, yeah, I'm really curious. New ownership with the Commanders, kind of a new house, it feels like, with the Commanders, new completely everything. So, yeah, I'm curious. This is kind of like the next phase of their team because a lot's changing and you're trying to bring in your franchise guy. So we'll see. And the Patriots are trying to do the same thing. Of course, I heard even an argument of like, do the Patriots draft a quarterback if they're not ready in other areas? Like, does that do them any good? You know, if their offensive line's still banged up and they need receiver help, but they're drafting a quarterback. So that's, someone was making an argument for them to go Marvin Harrison and then like sign or trade for a guy that can get you by this year. So I was like, I mean, I guess that's fair. Maybe, I mean, but who knows?
Odds are the Patriots are going to be at the top of the draft again next year. They're projected to have one of the worst records in the league. I don't see a lot of things changing that, even a new quarterback. Who knows if the new quarterback will even play? I think the plan is probably to have Brissett go for a little bit. But here's the thing. How long is Robert Kraft and are the fans going to be patient? You know? If Brissett starts the season with whoever this new quarterback is, if it is Jaden Daniels, if it is Drake May, how long are they going to be patient while Jacoby Brissett, probably not through any fault of his own, goes 1-5, 2-6, you know, 2-7? How long are they going to wait? Are they going to be 0-4 and then pull the trigger and throw the rookie out just to get a boost? You know, I don't know. That's how you that's how you ruin your long term success, is you throw a guy to the wolves because you got impatient after four games, even though you knew you were going to lose the whole time. And we'll see if they can resist that temptation. I think that'll happen regardless of who they take.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, let's just get to the Chiefs. I think the top three quarterbacks are the ones that are most exciting for the whole draft. But I want to talk about the Chiefs because it's the team that I actually care about. I don't honestly care if the other quarterbacks work after these. I mean, I like watching good football, but who gives a crap? So the Chiefs have some needs. Now, they don't have some needs in some obvious areas, which is nice. But there, I think there's a few places the Chiefs have a need. Cornerback, left tackle, and wide receiver. David, which one do you want the Chiefs to take in the first round?
Man, I'm kind of been bouncing back and forth recently. But I still am just holding strong to receiver. There's always like three solid offensive tackles in the draft. Always. There are always 400-pound white guys that do their job very well in the trenches. I just feel like we haven't seen a receiver class like this in a very long time, where you have like six guys that are legitimate first-round picks, and there are like three or four that could easily like fall that way. I don't know, like last year there were four receivers taken in the first round. 2022 there are actually quite a bit. There were six receivers taken and four of them arguably shouldn't have been, but then you go and it's like four receivers taken, two receivers taken, two receivers taken, you know. And so like I think we gotta take advantage of that. Veach has a history of like liking young guys in the draft, like over maybe a superstar that they could trade for. They bank on their picks and it's worked out, like for the most part. You know, you think about Pacheco, who was a late round pick. Kelsey was third or fourth, and Tyreek Hill was in that same range. You know, I know Kareem Hunt ended poorly, but that was a late round pick. Like you have like some of these stars that they've been able to find that are doing well. And so I saw there's a, I listened to a podcast and Nate Taylor is in this podcast. He covers the Chiefs for The Athletic and he has a trade scenario that I actually really like and I hope they follow through with. He has them trading up to 22. That's the Eagles pick. So they would swap first round picks and then the Chiefs would give them a 2025 third round pick, which the Titans just gave them for Snead. And then they would also give him a 2025 sixth round pick. And he has them taking Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, which I really like him. He's ranked number 4 right now on ESPN behind Harrison Neighbors and Odunze. But he's 6'3", 210 pounds. He's an animal.
He's huge. He's
ginormous. Yeah, and he ran a 4.340. Like, I don't know, man. I like receiver, and I hope they go big. Because, like, McColl, Sky, even Rashee's worked out. He's a little bit bigger. But they've kind of gone with these smaller, faster guys. And I think just naturally to replicate Tyreek. But I think you take a chance this year and you change it up. Like, let's go for a big body, a powerful guy that may not be as fast, but like could maybe be dependable downfield and their intermediate routes. So
with him, if it is Brian Thomas Jr., yeah. You don't have to worry about the speed because he's actually just a jet as well. I would love to have him. I just don't know. Like, here's the thing. We saw the story about the Bills whenever they were looking for trade partners. And they were like, we're not trading to the Chiefs. I think that's going to be the sentiment of a lot of people in the league. Like, you don't want to be the guy who, like, everybody mentions on the sports first take shows or whatever you want to call it, all the argument shows, whenever they're like, and you gave up that pick and that turned into a wide receiver that Patrick Mahomes just threw 18 touchdowns to this year. Like, they don't want to do that. Yeah. And so I think there's a little bit of fear there. And that's why I don't know if you're going to get a Brian Thomas Jr. I would love him. I mean, like you said, 6'4", 200 plus, runs a 4.3, had 17 touchdowns last year, most by a Power 5 receiver since Devonta Smith won the Heisman. Like, he was great. He was legitimately just amazing. He got overshadowed in some ways by Neighbors, but there's some people who think he's better than Neighbors. I don't know if I agree with that, but that would be awesome. I just don't know if they're going to do that. I would love it. I would love it, but I just don't know if anybody's going to be willing to do that with us, you know?
Yeah, and I've kind of heard, like, anything higher than 22, like, these Chiefs talk people think that that's a little higher than what Veach is willing to go, because if you get in the top 20, you have to give up quite a bit. And we know, again, Veach likes his picks and doesn't want to give up that. So it does feel like, though, in the lower to mid-20s, that's kind of are the teams that would be willing to trade with the Chiefs. You got 27 are the Cardinals, 26 the Bucks, 25 Packers, 24 Cowboys, 23 Vikings. Those teams feel like they'd be willing to trade. Now, anything outside of that, you have the Bills, but then like 18 and 17 are the Jags, Bengals, Steelers at 20, Dolphins at 21. I doubt they're going to take phone calls. Dolphins might at 21. We beat them this year in the playoffs, but like other than that, we've not really played them much. They got a pretty loaded team at receiver, and they may not care, but dang sure know that the Bengals aren't going to do anything with us. The Jags won't do anything with us. Rams probably won't, because they haven't had a first round pick in like 4 decades, because they sold their souls for that Super Bowl. So
yeah, they're going to take
it. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But it would just be funny if the Chiefs traded up in front of the Bills and took a player that they wanted.
I would absolutely
again.
That. If the Chiefs trade up and pick Brian Thomas, I will be like, it's going to be like we're have a game winning like 3 in a basketball game. I'm going to sprint outside. I'm going to run around.
Come on.
I'm going to jump. Like, that's going to be so exciting. I think it's the same scenario, unfortunately, for the Chiefs taking a good tackle, because this is supposed to be a deep tackle class, but guys like Joe Alt and JC Latham are not going to last past top 15. I don't see that happening. And that is also another need that the Chiefs have. And if they want to take one of those tackles, they have to trade. Now, I see the most likely trade partner would be Chicago at 9 to get Alt. But I think you'd have to give up a lot for that. I think you'd have to give up a player for that, honestly. I don't even know if you could just do picks. I think Chicago would want a player. And I don't really know if we have a player we want to give up for that. And it'd be a starter,
just
too.
We,
so
Veach has been pretty selfish with those picks, and maybe reasonably so. Like, he's late round picks, he's been able to turn into some talent, and so it just doesn't seem like he's willing to give up a lot for that.
Here's the problem: like, the draft is, it's harder to get like the flashy guy. It's harder to have everybody get excited.
Do you think they should go receiver or tackle? I'll ask you the same question you asked me.
I would like to see him go receiver. I think that tackle is obviously a need we have. I think it's easier to find a tackle in free agency, because the market isn't as crazy as it is for a receiver. We signed Hollywood Brown, which is great. And there's another issue though. Like, I don't know what's going on with Rashee Rice, you know?
I haven't heard in a while. I saw he's working out with Mahomes.
Like, yeah, but that off the field stuff, I don't think is going to go away the same way people thought it was going to. And while everybody was jumping to conclusions of like, he was not driving, it wasn't him, that was not him, he was. So we know he was driving, because he said he was driving. We know that this is not going to end well, I don't think. So I don't know. I don't know where he goes there. So I'd like to see the Chiefs get a wide receiver, because I don't know. I have a feeling he's going to have at least a suspension coming from the league, even if he doesn't face any severe, you know, penalties from law. I think he is going to face a couple from Goodell's office, and so I think we're going to need somebody. We're going to need a receiver. I would like to take a receiver, and I would absolutely love to have the possibility of taking Brian Thomas Jr. I think that the most likely, I like Adonai Mitchell, and there's a possibility that Adonai Mitchell would be there at the end of the first draft. Now, sometimes it happens where people will panic and go just receiver heavy as soon as like three teams draft one. And that's what happened last year, which is why we didn't get a receiver in the first round, I think, because everybody just started going crazy, picking all the receivers that they possibly could. Now, Mitchell is not as touted of a prospect as Thomas Jr., but is kind of the same. He's 6'4", 196. He's not as big as Thomas Jr. 11 touchdown catches, though. He loves to go long. And he 55 receptions in 2023 for 800 yards. So almost had a 1,000-yard season in college at Texas. I think he could be there. I really do. I think he could be there for the Chiefs at the end of the first round. And I would like to see them take him. I really think that would actually be
his pro comp's George Pickens.
Yeah. Which I would love to have George Pickens. Pickens is a diva, but I would love to have George Pickens. So
I don't know. Yeah, there's a couple I like. I like Leggett out of South Carolina. I like Coleman. I like Troy Franklin. I even like Jalen Polk out of Washington. He's a much lower prospect. I've seen a couple mocks have us taking like Ladd McConkey or even Xavier Worthy, and that just makes me nervous going for like the little fast guy again. Like, I maybe it's just like recency of McColl and Sky, but I'm like, he's 185 pound, like little skinny kid that gets.
I think they're learning their lesson. I don't think they're gonna do that. I mean, we got Rice last year, who's smaller, but not a first round. I don't think they do that again. Because you can find, I feel like you can just find a slot guy like that in the third round, in the fifth round. You know, like it's the big like 6'4", double me. I'm gonna go up and catch the ball, like touchdown, end zone threats. Those guys go in the first two. Those guys go in the first round. And then after that, the slot guys, which are maybe undervalued in the league, go later. Never forget, we got Tyreek in the fourth. You know, like I don't think you have to go that high to get it. You can find a slot receiver that was playing in the MAC and who's probably got great ball skills and is incredibly smart and is very quick. And you can get him in the third round. I just don't think we need to draft a slot guy at the end of the first. I don't think they will. I think if...
Let's see.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Puka Nacua out of Birmingham Young University in the fifth round that zero people saw, but Sean McVay.
Yeah, exactly. Wild. I mean, yeah. So wild. I feel like you can find those guys later, and that's probably where they'd be looking. I think if they don't have one at that point, I think they may, because you can trade up a couple spots. Well, look, cornerback is also something that's there. Just traded Snead. They'd like to have a guy on the other side opposite McDuffie. I'm seeing some Cooper DeJean love.
I say, are you seeing a former Midwestian?
The only first round pick for the white delegation in the defensive back room. but he's there. I think we know more about Cooper DeJean than some Chiefs fans just because of Zach, you know, our Iowa fan. Mm-hmm. Our resident Iowa fan was talking about Cooper DeJean, and he's a legitimately great player. And he's projected to go in the 23 to 27 range. That's just trading up a couple of spots, and I think that's much more doable. And maybe something they want to do just to like, hey, let's get another top guy. Let's see what we can do here. There's also...
And he was a returner in college, so he could return as well, you know.
Something we apparently desperately need. I mean, there's a couple of other corners that have been getting some first round attention. I don't know if we'll go there. There's also, we could wait until the second and pick TJ Tampa, which I've seen the Chiefs fluttered out a lot. We love Iowa corners, I guess, guys that played in the state of Iowa. He's a press man guy who just is really physical. He's a lot like Snead. He's just going to get you rattled at the beginning, get you off the ball, and then he's got the speed to keep up with you. So that could be something we do too. I also, there's possibility we go D end here. I've seen that. How do you feel about that? We picked a D end last year. Didn't play a whole lot, but I think that there's a couple of reasons. I think that was a hometown pick, and I think we were going to pick a wide receiver and just didn't get the chance to. Do you think the Chiefs go kinda, D end again? Do you think that's a possibility? Yeah.
I don't know. I understand, like, okay, Chris is, you know, you got to think the future, and Chris won't always be there. I almost think if they're going to go defensive line, I feel like they should do find themselves like a D tackle next to Chris or something, especially like this Jim Harbaugh in the trenches new kind of style. Like, they got to be able to defend against that. So maybe you go for a Devondre Sweat out of Texas or. You know, I don't know, Chris Jenkins, Michigan, somebody, but here's where I'm at. Like, obviously I want like a Brian Thomas Jr., but Veach is, he's missed on a couple, but for the most part, Veach has really been masterful in the draft, especially with defensive guys. What he drafts, I'm going to trust. I may not understand it depending on who it is, but I'll be like, all right, I trust you. You've done it before. Let's go.
I think the most likely thing that happens, in this draft is that the Chiefs make a first round pick and we go, oh, okay, well, we'll see. Yeah. You know? And we'll watch highlights of that guy for the next.
It'll be no one we've talked about,
and then convince ourselves like, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. This is actually
he's the next Kadarius Toney.
What a steal! I can't believe we just got this guy. And you're telling me that you wouldn't? I mean, David, I know you don't want a DN. I agree with you. I don't know if they should take a DN, but if they pick Darius Robinson at the end of the first round, you're gonna freak out. You're gonna be like, yeah, let's go. Let's use
that's
back,
true,
maybe.
He's a dog, bro. 6'5", 285. He's so good.
He's like one of the most physical players in the SEC last year. Led Mizzou in tackles for loss and sacks. He's a guy. Like, and if they take him, I guarantee your first text is just going to be M-I-Z in our group chat. And you're going to be freaking out. And you're going to love it. And you know what? I'll love it too, because that guy's probably going to be good.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
Kind of the last question I have for you. Mm-hmm. Is there, you think, any way they trade out of the first? For like a okay team, so that next year potentially, what if we have pick like 14 because we traded with the Titans or whoever, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you think that's a potential?
No, I don't see that happening. Just because I just think that Veach isn't, you're not a basketball guy, but Veach isn't Sam Presti, and you also have Mahomes now. I think trading out and hoping for the next year is something you do if you don't have the guy already, you know? But they have the guy already, so there's no reason to bank a possible better asset next year rather than just get an asset now. And I don't think that's worth more value. Sam Presti is the GM of the Thunder, who at one point in time had like 4,000 picks in the next six drafts. And it's worked for him. Like, if you watch the Oklahoma City Thunder this year, they're one of the best teams in the West. They're probably going to make a Western Conference Finals run and then get knocked out by Nikola Jokic, who might be one of the greatest players of all time. It probably is. But they just did that by storing up a bunch of picks and then just using them right in a row all on young talent, like, and getting as much as they possibly could. Yeah. The Chiefs don't need to do that because they have Pat. their window is already open. It's the biggest it's the biggest window since Brady, which isn't saying that much because Brady retired last year. But it's a big window.
Which is crazy, bro.
It's not this isn't a bathroom window. This is a giant window in your living room, okay? In an open floor plan house that Chip and Joanna Gaines designed. It's a freaking massive window, all right? And so
that's true.
You got to get players now. I don't think it does them any good to trade back and then hope they get a better pick, because you could have, you could be like, oh my God, this team sucked and we got the eighth pick in next year's draft. Or you could be like, great, we just went from 32 to 27. Like, fantastic. That did us a lot of good. I just don't think he'll do that.
Yeah.
I think they want a player.
Yeah.
I think
that's a player. That's fair. Yeah. They got 7 picks this year. They don't have one in the sixth, but they have 2 in the fifth. Two in the fifth, honestly, that I'm kind of excited for the fourth and the two in the fifth. I think that's where Veach is like cooking. Like, all the other GMs are napping and he's like, all right, here we go.
That's where, you know? That's where it becomes just like, you know, cause you're not watching the draft at that point, most of the time it might be on the TV, but you're doing other things. That's when you get the notification on ESPN. You're like, we just drafted, you know, safety from Ball State, and you're like, what? Okay, let me see. We get on Twitter, and you look, and like Arrowhead Pride has already posted like a 2-minute highlight compilation, and you just watch that, and you're like, okay, well, this guy might be Deion Sanders, and you just get to do that. That's so much fun. So I'm excited for that too. I every time I love watching the highlights for the guys he drafts in the later rounds, just to convince myself they're going to be all time greats, and some of them won't make the roster.
Oh, absolutely,
that's fine.
Absolutely. Are you watching this with anybody, or are you just like pretty chill?
No, Alyssa. I'm watching it with Alyssa. I don't know that she knows that yet. We'll see. Thursday, she's aware.
That's awesome. That
she's going to be watching the NFL draft. But yeah, I was going to, but I don't have a lot of guy friends here. And my brother's got a baby and is studying for med school. He's not as fun to watch things with as he used to be. No shade to him, but like, he's got responsibilities now. So.
That's fair. We'll see. Yeah. I got you.
What about you? You got a draft party?
We do, actually. A couple of us. It's actually the same. We're just texting the same group chat that went to the draft in KC last year. And we're like,
there you go. Just in your,
one of them wanted to go up to Detroit. Yeah. One of them wanted to go up to Detroit this year. You can probably guess. He's really about to get married next week, too, which is kind of funny that he wanted to go up to Detroit. But no, we're just doing it at a house here, and there's going to be like some brisket and some wings and some jalapeno papas, so it'll be kind of exciting.
That sounds good. That sounds like a good time.
So
yeah. I don't know. And it's
yeah, I'm excited. It's
fun. I love watching the draft, although it's just round one again, right? That's what they're doing, round one.
Yeah, round one, and then it's 2 and 3, and then 4, 5, and 6, I think. Just made this, or there's 7, though,
so
too.
Much longer. The draft is, and this may be blasphemous for me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. The draft is prime. Maybe I should watch a book while I'm watching this, or maybe I should read a book while I'm watching this event. Because, like, you'll have a pick, and you'll watch highlights for that guy, and then there's going to be another 5 minutes at least, and then another, like, 8 of the same commercials you've been watching for the past 2 hours before you can see the next pick. So maybe just have a book handy like, you know, get on TikTok for a little bit and then come back. You don't have to be locked in the whole time when you're watching the draft.
But, hey, stay off Twitter. Twitter always knows first. So if you like that element of surprise, just avoid Twitter until the pick that you want to be surprised for is picked. I looked. 2 and 3 is Friday night. 4 through 7 is Saturday. It looks like 11 a.m., okay. So Thursday, Friday night, and then Saturday at 11 a.m.
I will be busy staining a back deck whenever 4 through 7 are happening. So just please text me with any large updates or happenings.
I can do that.
You know,
I can absolutely do that. So
appreciate that. All right, David, before we go, let's do the tradition that we've been doing. Thanks to, once again, our friend TJ, who requested we do this. Just shouting out the best thing that we watched since the last time we had a podcast, which would have been 2 weeks ago. David, what was the best thing that you saw in the past 2 weeks?
It's amazing that I am caught off guard by this, considering we've done this for like a month now.
A few times. Do you want me to go first? Because I can go ahead.
Let's see.
You.
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago was the 9th.
Yeah.
And go ahead and go first. While I'm kind of thinking about this, you know.
By thinking, you mean just getting on Letterboxd and looking to see what you rated the highest since then.
That's fair. Yeah. And I'm trying to remember if I saw anything else that was really good.
Yeah. So I saw a couple of movies. The movie I'm going to shout out was maybe not the best thing that I saw, but I think it was the most interesting, and a movie that I actually didn't like when I came out of it, but enjoyed it more. And that is Alex Garland's Civil War, which is the biggest swing A24 has made thus far. It's the movie that everybody's probably seen trailers for in front of all sorts of things. And then sarcastically asked the question, what if California and Texas joined forces against the rest? They would never like each other because Republicans and Democrats. It's a film about a dystopian near future in which America is engulfed in a civil war. I think this is maybe some of the best visceral, like, war filmmaking I've seen in a movie made this century. Like, I cannot describe to you how terrifying this movie actually was to watch in IMAX. And I jumped a couple of times. My girlfriend jumped a couple of times. Like, there's some truly shocking and just awe-inspiring, like, action sequences in this movie. And the message of it is a little muddled to me. And that's kind of where, when I came out of it, I hated it because I thought it was going to make a point that it didn't. And then as I've kind of thought about it more, I was like, maybe that was just my own expectations of what a movie called Civil War would be. And maybe I should have checked myself. And so I don't really know where I'm at with it. I don't know if I know that it's like technically and like just as a film experience, great. And now if it has anything deeper to say, or will it be like an all-time great movie for me? I don't know. Probably not. But I think just as a pure go to the, see the movies and watch a movie experience, I thought it was amazing. And so I'd recommend it. Yeah. It's still in theaters. It's probably going to get kicked out of IMAX at the end of this week because I think Challengers is in IMAX for some reason, which I'm not really sure why.
It is.
If I'm
yeah.
being honest. So I think it's getting Challengers taking its screen. So if you have the opportunity to go see an IMAX in the next couple of days, I would definitely recommend it. If not, I would just go see it in a theater. This movie is going to play much better in a theater. So, Civil War, that's what I'm going to shout out.
Yeah. I've been wanting to see that. There was a couple times we were planning to, and it just didn't work out. Kind of maybe got home from work and we're like, I'm just not feeling it, you know? So I'm wanting to, watch it. So we'll have to see. Hopefully it's on for a little bit longer mm-hmm. here in town, but I don't know if I'll get to that. Hopefully I can though. But I wonder, like, maybe too with that movie, I wonder if that was the point, that there wasn't a clear cut, like,
it seems like
thing to take away from, you know,
like
what I mean?
That's what Garland wanted to do. And so I don't know. I'm still thinking about it, honestly, which is kind of impressive because I saw it almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. For myself, I'm going to go with the movie too. And, I'm going to send it because why the heck not? Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, directed by Matt Reeves, 2014.
I haven't seen that movie since 2014. I need to rewatch this.
Man, it's fun. My review is exactly just kind of how I felt. Let's see if I can pull this up. I said, dude, just show me. Okay. I said, Caesar riding in on a horse with his war paint on is one of the coolest things you'll ever see on TV. It's just like how it starts of like a close up of his eyes and it zooms out. And he's got like the white war paint mm-hmm. with the red stripe down his face and he's on the black horse and like just mm-hmm. like slowly rolling in on, like, that's just so cool. It's a fun movie. It's the best one. I realized I hadn't seen the third movie, The War of the Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. I watched it and I was like, I don't think I've seen this before. But no, really, really fun. You got Andy Serkis, who's just really good at being like animals or capture. Things in movies. And then really just kind of a loaded cast. You got Jason Clarke, who's kind of that main protagonist. Gary Oldman, who's kind of, no, I wouldn't say he's even the main antagonist. I'd say Koba would be, but Kerry Russell as Ellie. It's a fun movie. Really good. Again, it impressive how just how real these apes look. It was fun. I don't know. I think maybe we were talking about the new movie. I was like, I realize I've not seen that trilogy in a while. Borrowing someone's Hulu right now. So I was like, I'm gonna go watch them all. And so I watched them 1, 2, 3. First one's good. Second one is the best one of the series, in my opinion. And the third one was fine. This one was just really fun to watch. And I had a very good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I want to rewatch them. I'm trying to figure out if I can convince Alyssa to do that. I just really don't think she cares. And so getting her invested in three Monkey movies and to go and watch a fourth one in theaters is just going to be a big task for me. There's going to have to be some trade proposals, much like a draft.
She's a nurse. Let her know what the real story is about this virus that spreads and causes this.
Don't think that's
you good. Know what I mean?
Well, like, I could try that hook. Okay. I think what I'm actually going to have to do is try and trade, like, hey, we'll do this. And then I'll watch like a couple episodes of Vampire Diaries or. Yeah, we're just going to have to we're going to have to make a trade deal. We're going to have to put the Art of Negotiator on as an audiobook and just listen to that and really get enveloped in that mindset in order to make that happen. Because I've already told her she has to go watch Furiosa opening night in IMAX with me. So
gotcha.
So and let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, she watched WrestleMania with me, which is 6 hours of wrestling. So she's
oh my gosh, that's wild.
She's made a lot of sacrifices.
Trooper.
But I'm over a yard, so we'll see. We'll see how it works. But David, I will give you
and your standard deck. But that's cool. Hey, I changed my letterboxed like icon to Oppenheimer. I forgot, you know, you can change that what it looks like, and so now I have like sparks around my letterbox logo. So that's fun.
That's nice. Mine is still black swan.
So, yeah, that is pretty nice. It's pretty nice, classic. But. Nathan, anything else before we wrap this whole thing up?
No, I think we're good. I think we're golden.
Okay.
Like fresh fried fries.
Draft starts Thursday night in Detroit, Michigan. It's gonna be fun. As I've gotten older, I've been more excited about the draft, and so
it's definitely an old man's thing to care about. That's for sure.
For sure. So, yeah, we'll see. And who knows what next week looks like? Who knows what next season looks like? So. It's going to be fun, and thank you all for listening. You've been listening to What Do You Want to Watch?